As Christians, how many of you feel like you're imitators of God? Oh, let's raise our hand. Jackson did. That's good. You're right. You've heard me many times ask the question or make the statement, know who you are, know where you've come from so you can know where you're going. That's what that's all about. I know who I am. I'm an imitator of God. God commanded that be in place. And he's commanded me to love. He's commanded me to walk. And all that this passage this morning talks about. So we're going to get into that. And just as a kind of a scary sort of thing, these are some Father's Day cards or birthday cards from some of my boys. We have four grown boys, and one of them says, say, Grandpa. And we saw this medallion. They were on a ship. And we thought of you, learning a little bit about Navy people. We learned a little more about you. Hey, aye, Captain. And I don't know if they know that I was never aboard a ship 4 years in the Navy. So that is kind of funny, isn't it? And let's see. Another one says, we love you and have been reflecting on all the special eccentric things that make up you. And then they listed a number of things. That's from Yakima Strums. And this one, I do so appreciate your ever-presence in my life. I've become me as a result of a great deal of you. But that really says something to my own heart, that we do leave a legacy. We do leave a heritage. We can't stop it. We are what we are, and it impacts. I've become me as a result of a great deal of you. Love that. Love that a legacy of hesed, that's a Hebrew word, goes on. You've been more than enough. Makes you want to cry. See, that's imitating. And I don't go around saying, okay, it's time to imitate. Nothing like that. But the fact is, we do imitate. And so here we have the high calling as disciples of the Lord Jesus. I say disciples because when Jesus gave the commission, he told the disciples, his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, wherever you are going, make disciples. Luke and Chandra are everlastingly making a disciple out of Wyndham. They don't know it so consciously, but you're doing it. We're making disciples. And if we are followers of the Lord Jesus, we're learners, we're followers of him. We're going last Sunday, so in Oregon, we went on our traditional family vacation together. We've been going to the same place, Rockaway Beach in Oregon, south of Cannon Beach, for about 35 years. And we always go to the same place, same house. And I've said to the boys from time to time, maybe we ought to go to Disneyland or Yellowstone. They said, no, we go to Oregon. They want to go to Oregon. I do too. I love that place. So I missed that good message last Sunday, and that message started out from the passage in Ephesians 5. So if you have your Bibles open, let's turn to that. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. What do you smell like? I guess that'd be a valid question for that passage, wouldn't it? Well, fragrant aroma, do you smell good? Do you smell like Christ to God? Well, the Lord gave us a wonderful passage on that, and I'll just turn to it quickly. It's in 2 Corinthians 2. It says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life." Oh, my goodness. And who is adequate for these things? But we all have an aroma. I wonder what it smells like when you're around me. Yeah, I wonder. So from verses 1 and 2, we are commanded to walk in love. The idea is we're on the move. Everybody's walking someplace. Where are you going? Asking, where am I going? What time is it? And so on. Commanded to walk in love. Then later in verse 15, to be careful how you walk. Remember, I was darkness. Verse 8, in the way I lived, now I am light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk. So you're going to be on the move. Everybody's on the move someplace. Make sure you know how you're going to walk. Walk circumspectly. Walk aware of your calling. To understand and to know and do the will of the Lord. That's the purpose in your walk. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 21 help us to know something about that walk. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So as all things are becoming new, it means we have to learn how to walk in light. Let's just read that passage now, beginning with we'll start with verse 3 and just as a little bit of a review. "But immorality or any iniquity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk in as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Instead, even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed to the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And for this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. As imitators of God, we've got to know Him. I can't imitate someone I don't know. I can't imitate someone I'm not around much with. And so, Paul said of that need in your life and my life, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul, well into his life in Christ, continued to say that I may know Him, that I may know Him. There's always more to know, more to know. I was a sinner, wasting my life in 1952. I've already heard a little bit about that funny Navy experience. Now I'm a sinner saved by and for the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace and mercy and goodness. A disciple washed and fit for heaven by His blood, empowered by His resurrection. I always think about the resurrection. It's resurrection. Resurrection. Always resurrection. That undergirds all that I do or say. It's how I live, the Apostle Paul said. How are you living? Francis Schaeffer, several decades ago, asked the question, how then shall we live? We should live according to who we are. We're imitators. And that's where we get our source of it. It's where we came from. It's where we're going. Titus 2:11 through 14 is a wonderful passage. It says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, training us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world, looking for that blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might deliver us from all iniquity and purify for Himself a people who are His very own possession, eager to do that which is good. So, who are we? Know who you are. I'm an imitator. What else am I? I'm a possession of Jesus Christ. And what is the possessor of Jesus Christ to do and of being possessed by Jesus Christ? Be eager to do that which is good. It fits right into our passage here, beginning up in verses 10 through 13. But this Titus passage tells me I am His very own possession. Just think about that. I can only imagine what that must mean to Him. His very own possession. That means He has full right to say, do this, don't do that. You can have this, shouldn't have that. Always checking with Him for how I should live. How then shall I live? Well, wonderful. What is the will of God then for a person like myself? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 says, your sanctification, that's the will of God. Sanctification? We just sang that beautiful hymn, and it says, sanctified. I better look at that once more. It says, yeah. Chosen not for good in me, waking up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. What's the will of God for you and me? Be sanctified. And I'll be sanctified by Him. Wonderful paraphrase of that too. It says, now may the God of peace,
sanctify you holy.
Sanctify you holy. But now may the God of peace put you together, spirit, soul, and body. Keep you fit for the coming of the Master. The one who says this, calls you, well, is faithful to do it. So that's kind of my paraphrase, or the paraphrase that I've used here for that passage. May God sanctify you wholly. Haven't you wondered how that's going to be for body, soul, and spirit? Well, it says that he'll do it to you completely. He will make it possible. He will do it. Whatever I have and wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. That's Christ, right? But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and glory. I'm saved once and for all time and eternity, and I'm being saved. Do you realize that? You're always being saved, but you're saved once and for all too. I'm sure glad that the sanctification is an ongoing thing with me. I need it. I need it badly. So that's why we can be imitators of God by the Holy Spirit, expressing a love and thankful spirit to Christ in our earthly walk. That's what we're called to do. We're called to love God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. What are you called to do? To love God. Pretty simple, but pretty steady. Just love him. Just love him. It's the fruit of light. Notice that in verses 8 through 10. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light. Very interesting. We're talking tonight about gentleness, one part of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember in Galatians 5? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Fruit of the Spirit is love, which shows itself in all those things. And here it's called the fruit of light. That's a new one, isn't it? You think about that very much? The fruit of light. What does light do? Boy, think of all the things that light does. But the fruit of light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Is there fruit in darkness? No. No fruit in darkness. So don't mess with it. Know about it. The Apostle Paul said to the Romans, I would yet have you wise unto that which is good, but simple concerning evil. You don't have to study evil to know what you're supposed to do with it. Just don't mess with it. Some sin is overcome by fight, and others by flight. Some things we have to run away from, and some things we have to fight for. Know the difference. Know the difference. And then you'll know what to expect from darkness. Nothing. For the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin, death. My wife just frowned at me. She doesn't like when I shout. I don't either. I'm not good at that. I'm not a good shouter. Anyway, the idea of death is no, it's the end. It's the end. Whereas there is fruit of light. Keeps on producing. Think of what farmers do without light. Products that you eat are a product of light. So light, the fruit of light, consists in all goodness, and righteousness and truth. Every good gift and every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will he gave birth to us through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. God is looking for fruit. God is looking for positive fruit, the fruit of light. How does the light get in you and me? Well, again, always look for your answers to these kind of questions in the scriptures. Always. Scripture interprets scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. Wonderful, wonderful passage. It says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's why we are imitators. We don't have to work hard at it. Just be it. Be an imitator of Christ. I love Thomas A. Kempis' book on that. The title of the book is Imitators of Christ. So we have fruit from light. And that light is interesting to consider. It's why we can be called imitators of God by the Holy Spirit, expressing a loving, thankful spirit to Christ in all our earthly walk, the fruit of the light, that light. Would you invite Jesus Christ to join you in your day-to-day endeavors? Think of what's going on this coming week. Would you like him to tag along, be with you, see what you do? I've always been fascinated by a short story Solzhenitsyn, and it's Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and the short story is entitled "A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich." And so what he does is almost like a card catalog of his life of 25,000 days, 24,000. And you reach in, oh, did this, did that. Oh. That's what our life is going to be looked at. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive that which is done in his body, whether it be good or bad. So we're all going to be there before him. If we know him, and it's a wonderful place to be, because he's going to be rewarding you and me for a life well spent. But it's that of an imitator. Would you invite Jesus Christ to join you in your day-to-day endeavors? Would he be proud of the way you handle business deals? With the way you use your time? It says here in Ephesians 5, redeeming the time. Therefore walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. How do you redeem time? How would Ron Marshall redeem time? How would Joe Benham redeem time? How about the Hennings, how would they do it? What do you do when you redeem something? Dave, what do? You buy back something that you lost. It wasn't yours. Say you pawn it or something like that. You watch or whatever. You pawn your skill saw. Didn't work anyway. The idea is you get it back for your own use. And we've got time. Time is like that. Time is boss-imposed time. Some is discretionary time. What do you do when it's your choice? What do you do? Making the most of time. Ever think about how many times you ask in a day, what time is it? Time is it? Four. Why do I always have to know what time it is? Because I'm thinking that I'm productive in what I'm doing. I want it to matter that I've lived. Remember, I've used this illustration many times. On the road from Issaquah to Renton, to Highway 900, there used to be a big billboard out there that says, "What on earth are you doing?" Good question. What am I doing anyway? Don't you ask that question sometimes? I do. I wonder sometimes what I'm doing. Really wonder. But for the most part, redeeming the time for the days are evil. What should I redeem my time for? To remind myself that I am a witness. Oh, I haven't talked about that much. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and in Issaquah, and in Renton, to the uttermost parts of the earth." Witnesses of what? Of the resurrection. Don't need to talk about the resurrection unless you talked about the cross. Paul said to the Corinthians, "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So you're witnessing the death and resurrection of him. And it's your life. It's your life. I hope it's your life. It can be your life if you want it. Verses 8 through 11, how then should we live? Verse 10, what is acceptable and pleasing to the Lord? We've already talked about how that sin produces darkness, it produces secrets, and it doesn't produce any fruit. It produces death. I've always been kind of fascinated with a verse in Romans 13. It says, "But put you on, dress up, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be clothed with Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." It's kind of like that. What is my body going to be used for? What is my life going to be used for? Where are my feet going to take me? Where are my hands going to work for me? Light and life. Fruit of light. Goodness and righteousness and truth. Interesting how goodness, as opposed to meanness and malice. Do you know any people who are just kind of mean people? Yeah, they're just kind of mean. You know any mean guys like that, Jackson? Anybody mean? No. You just know good people. Meanness and malice. There's some people who are kind of just dedicated to being mean, dedicated to being evil. The criminal minds. In fact, there's an ongoing television series on that stuff. You don't need to know all that, how to dismember a body or any of that. You don't need to know that. Because we're given to goodness. And goodness, the word goodness, good, stems from the Indo-European source, a word for God. If there's real goodness, it comes from God. Goodness and kindness and gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So goodness comes from God, as opposed to meanness and malice. Righteousness, as opposed to covetousness and greed. You find yourself coveting things Romans 7 brings that out, how we covet things. What does that mean? I'd like to have what you got. I'd like to have this possession or that possession. I wish we had this, I wish we had that. If only this. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. God says, it's not good, not good. So goodness and righteousness and truth come from light. Become masters of that. Become a master of goodness and righteousness and truth. I've often said you need a hit. I used to do a lot of alcohol and drug counseling at the hospital where I work, or where I worked. And I'd have a group of guys together and some women too. And I'd say, how many of you would like a hit? Oh boy, they woke up for that one. What do I mean by that? That's an acrostic, H-I-T. And here again, some of you have, that's one of Gordy's worn out cliches. Hit, honesty to God, integrity toward yourself, and truthfulness to others. That's the product of light. The fruit of light is goodness and righteousness and truth. Fill your life with that. Fill your life with that. And you can choose what you're going to expose yourself to. I oftentimes think of how you don't do it anymore. We don't have, I wonder whatever happened to the Fuji industry with films and, you know, no Fuji films, are there? No 35 Fujis. It used to be that, you know, if you expose a film, what happens to it? Whatever you expose it to, it picks up. Same idea here. Expose yourself to light, and it will show your life up. So walk circumspectly or wisely, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Again, how would I do that? Don't you wonder sometimes, well, how do I do this stuff? Not stuff, but how do I live this way? Well, Proverbs 4:7 and Proverbs 16:22 says this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Ever notice how the difference when you understand something and you don't understand something? Dave, you're putting up a new building, and is it the same as the last time? No, I got something different here. So what do you have to do? You have to understand. You get wisdom, the wise thing is it's something different. Understanding is, this is how we're going to do it. So 16:22 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is a wellspring of life to everyone who has it. Well, wisdom is a wellspring. And who is wisdom? But of him are in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. So it's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. It's all hidden there. Not hidden from you, but hidden for you. Go after it. Go after it. Be a student of the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Hear it whenever you can. Memorize it if you want to hang on to it. Be sure to read it and reread it and then decide what you're going to memorize. And then as you've memorized it, you got to think about it. What do you do when you think? What are you doing, you think? You talk to yourself inside your head. That's all. Do any of you think? Some of us think we think. Some of us rather die than think. You know what I mean? Think about these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your advancement will be apparent to everyone. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. So we're going to better wind this down here pretty quick. There's so many cross-references that are helpful to understand these things. Cross-references like Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech be always with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Boy, wouldn't you like to be able to say, that's me. I know just how to respond to every person exactly the way I should. No, got a long way to go to that, but the Holy Spirit will be gladly meet us and help us to know how to make our life seasoned with be always with grace, seasoned with salt. But why the salt there? What does salt have to do with this? What does salt do?
It adds flavor.
Flavor. What else?
Preserves.
Huh?
Preserves.
Preserves. Yep. It heals too. So that's kind of the whole thing. The beginning of it, understanding why the Holy Spirit would include salt in the scripture like this, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Know how to use the salt. You know how to use it. See how we're called to be disciples who do something in our relationships with people. We interact with people in a way that it helps them. Kind of a funny thing this morning. In a meeting just before, I think it was our last hymn we sang, and is it so, I shall be like thy son. Azish got up and gave that hymn out. You know, I was starting to, I think I was halfway up and you were up. You know what I had my songbooks open to? Yeah, that's right, 195. What is that? Well, it's just the way the Lord works among us. We occupy ourselves with the Word of God, with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. These are spiritual songs, I think. I think that's what Ephesians 5 means when it says that we are to... lost it there. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Boy, just to imagine to be harmonious like this together at the Lord's table, singing to the Lord. That's His. It was for Him, not for us, for Him. Wonderful. Wonderful experience we're having when we do that. The Holy Spirit fills us. What does it mean about don't drink too much wine? It doesn't say not to drink wine, but don't drink too much. Why? Well, you lose control. And who is supposed to control your life? The Holy Spirit. He'll do that if He has opportunity to fill us. Leave room. Make much room for Him. In fact, invite Him. Lord, I haven't sensed being full of You as I ought to, I believe. I'd like it. Surprise me. Surprise me. And so that's what this is. Always giving thanks, verse 20. Always. Always giving thanks for all things. in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I think that's one of the few expressions like that in the New Testament, the fear of Christ. Fear of God, many times, but the fear of Christ. It's just as, just to hear the name Christ ought to strike a note of awe in me and you. I'm dealing with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God, the living God, and I can do it because I'm an imitator. He's given me all the ingredients in my spiritual life to be able to relate to him that way. Try it if you haven't done it. Say, Lord, I'm an imitator. What can you do to help me? I want to be like you. I want to, because I just sang, and is it so, I shall be like you. Oh. Do you want that? Go after it. In your personal walk with Jesus, in your family. Quincy's going to speak next week on the last part of Ephesians 5. These are men who are disciples who have learned to live alone with Jesus Christ. Women who have learned to live alone with Jesus Christ. And God brings them together. And they become one. And they are a picture of Christ in the church. Don't try to go for that unless you learn to walk alone with Christ. I remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer used to say, if you haven't learned to live alone with Christ, be careful about being in a bunch. It's good advice. You know, you just lose yourself and anonymity. Who knows me? Who cares? But if you learn to be with Christ, then he went on to say, and if you learn to live alone with Christ, beware of being on your own. Join a fellowship. Be an active part of a church. Good advice. Good advice. All right. So, in another place, in another time, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 said this, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. And you know, the Apostle Paul was not a sinless guy. I'm sure that there was some sparky words between him and Barnabas early on in their life, in the life of the church. But they learned forgiveness. Boy, if you haven't learned forgiveness, if you haven't learned, just imagine kids growing up in a family and their parents might not even want to even see their siblings. My goodness, what's that? And you know what? They're just like that film, whatever they are exposed to, that they'll pick it up. Yeah. So, give lots of room for light and goodness and righteousness and truth. Lord, I bumble through some of these words, some of these thoughts. I'm trying to think about them, trying to talk to you and to talk to myself about them and to put them to work as much as I understand them. We love you, Lord, and we love the word you've given us. Thank you for our Bibles. Thank you for the church and for Christ in his headship, and so much to be thankful for. You've told us to always be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Anyway, it's been a hell of a show.
Thanks, Archie. Must use your imagination.
I'm going to meet you. I don't know what you're doing.
I'm going over
kind of new budget.
Yeah.